Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're also on Dash Radio on their Nothing But Net channel. That's every single weeknight at 7 p.m. Also, check out the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Post up 5R as soon as the game ends. Before floor, an hour before every game begins. Of course, Dono Daily every single day. Make sure you're subscribing to the channel to get all of the latest updates as soon as the shows come on. Also, fivereasonsports.com. That's where you find all of the latest articles without a paywall, including from Brady Hawk, who's going to be joining us here on this episode. And check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. That includes our friends over at prizepicks.com. Make sure you're using that code 5, F-I-V-E, not just for all these NBA games, but for all of the NFL games. There seems to be one every day leading up through Christmas. So make sure that you're playing every single day if you can. Of course, you can pair players from different sports, different teams, 2, 3, 4, 5 players. Of course, you do the power play, the flex play. They are now the exclusive fantasy partner of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for renewing for 2022. And of course, they're doing that because a lot of you are playing. So find out why. If you're not, use that code 5, F-I-V-E. And now, tonight's episode. Down to Biscay.
Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, Ethan Skolnick back on Five on the Floor. Here's tonight's floor plan. I got Brady Hawk. You can follow him at Brady Hawk 305. His episodes here, or his appearances here, are sponsored by our friend Eric Rubenstein. This is the attorney that you want to go check out if you got any kind of a personal injury issue. That could be medical malpractice, car accident, or anything else. Eric is the guy to go to. He's based right here in South Florida. Huge Miami sports fan. Effect was at the Heat game, of course, tonight, the Dolphins game on Sunday. All of our sponsors are big South Florida sports fans. He's from St. Thomas University, a law degree from there. He graduated magna cum laude, and he will get you exactly what you deserve. So make sure you reach out to Eric. Again, he grew up in a personal injury law family. He knows exactly how this works. 954-829-ERIC. That's 954-829-ERIC. Check out Eric Rubenstein. Also joining us tonight is Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. And when we were on the program earlier today on Before Floor, Greg, we all were talking about the fact that, as you said on Twitter, Omer Yurtseven was going to dominate Sabonis, that the Heat were going to dominate the boards, and that they were going to make about 30 threes. So basically, we were right on target with this. As we speak, the game isn't quite over, but it's been over for a little while. I'm at the arena. That's why there's some background noise here. The Heat basically destroyed Indiana tonight, to the point that I was getting texts from people saying, how late did the Pacers stay up last night? But I do think we've got to give the Heat credit for what they did tonight, Greg, particularly coming off that loss in Detroit, where they look just weary on the road, missing so many different players. They do get Tyler Hero back tonight. He made a difference, but they got off to a great start even without him, Greg. And I think we got to give credit to a couple of the guys we've been critical of, but particularly Duncan Robinson. As we speak, he's done for the night, but 26 points, 6 for 10 on threes. And a guy we've praised quite a bit, Max Strus, gave him 18 as a spot starter at the power forward position. This is one of those performances that just is one of those nights where you're like, Eric Spoelstra did a hell of a job tonight.
Yeah, no doubt at all. They were, if I had to say what this team looked like tonight in one word, it's sharp. They just looked sharp offensively. They were getting all the 50-50 balls throughout the game. You know, currently they're leading Indiana. They're up double digits in rebounding. And this is a team that we didn't expect them to do that. To see Yurtseven get position, and just literally he's just playing harder than Domas and Miles Turner were. And then you mentioned Max Strus. I mean, Max Strus and Gabe Vincent, you're getting a combined what? 30 points and 10 rebounds and 6 assists. That's like, you know, to see that Kyle Lowry's flirting with a triple double. And this stat I dug up, and I tweeted it earlier, but I think that it's worth mentioning because it's a guy we're going to talk about on this episode, is Tyler Hero. He tied Duncan for leading the team in scoring with 26 points, and they're 7-3 when Tyler leads them in scoring. So it's just interesting to see. There's a certain level of electricity that comes with Tyler Hero that this team needs. And it was just a great night to see him back out there firing on all cylinders.
Yeah. Especially at home, there's something that happens with the ball in his hands at home that the fans react to. And I thought Brady, he was forcing the action when he came in today. He missed his first four shots, but a couple of other situations. I mean, he seemed to be trying to do too much too quickly. But you could see when he made the first step back, everything kind of calmed down for him and he carried them. But I want to stick to the starters here just as we go. And as we're talking here, Udonis Haslem just made a corner three. So you might hear some more background noise here. But I want to start with the decision to go with Strus. It felt like Eric Spoelstra just decided there's one way we're going to play this game. We're going to try to bomb them out of the building. And if you look, I think their first five shots were threes, something like eight of their first 10 shots were threes. We've talked about this. It's a make or miss league. It's a make or miss team in a lot of different ways, but particularly without Jimmy and Bam in there to get to the line, particularly without PJ Tucker, the ability to play through him, they have to play this way, right? So, I mean, when you look at it, Brady, was this, they played well or they just shot well?
I think it was kind of both. It felt like it was a little bit of both. Looking at the starting lineup wise, you talk about them shooting threes out the gate, but I don't remember the last time there was an NBA game where the first defensive possession was zone. Like it was the tip off and it was a Heat zone possession, which was, they had to do it because you have Max Strus and Duncan Robinson playing the four guarding Sabonis. So it would have been tough. That's kind of why I don't think any of us would have expected KZ to come in before Tyler in a game like this either. But obviously matchup wise, you had to do what you had to do. But it was that case. I feel like this is a game where they played well and they shot well. They right now, I think they're up to 48 threes. That may change, but they were shooting them at an incredible rate. You mentioned Duncan, Tyler missing some shots early. Duncan missed his first two threes and they were good looks. Like that was probably two of his best looks of the night. And he ended up kind of getting it going. And then obviously looking at Duncan, I feel like what opened this up, the shooting, what usually opens up shooting is when guys drive, when they go to the basket, when you have a Jimmy and Bam who can get to the basket. Duncan was that initiator tonight, which is something we talk about predicting stuff on the pregame show. I don't think any of us could have predicted that on the pregame Never. Show to say Duncan would be the drive and kick guy. I think we would have all known that he would have been the kick, not the drive. And just seeing him kind of getting to the basket, he missed, I think, probably his first two. I think he missed. He missed like that floater. It went off. And then other than that, he was driving well. He had a nice feed into Omer. Like he was making really good decisions. And I feel like if we're looking at this big picture, if we say to begin the season, Duncan shooting the ball like he did last season, we would be having the complete opposite conversation than we are right now. Because I feel like Duncan has grown greatly, like as a basketball player, just watching him when the three is falling, which has been, you know, in limited games this season. But when it is his 2-point game, it looks at a totally different level than it's ever been. That one baseline jumper where he, instead of shooting the corner three, hit that jumper. That's what got him going. It feels like I've said it before in here in the last game, he was 2-for-10 from three. I said, I feel like the 0-for-1 from two stood out more. When he gets the twos going, everything changes for him. And when you're without guys like Jimmy or without guys like Bam, and you have to kind of dictate things before Tyler comes in, that's the way to go about it. And I just feel like looking at this lineup wise, Duncan was the glue in a lot of this.
And you just posted the stat here. They only took 11 free throws tonight, right? I don't know if that number changed. 11, 13, something along those lines. So, I mean, they were not getting to the line. It was all drive and kick and make. I mean, essentially, that's what this game was. I also think sometimes we need to look at the opponent. Indiana is a mess right now. Broken. I don't really know what Rick Carlisle's doing. That starting five should be better than it is. And it feels like, and I know there have been reports about this, but it feels like sort of a major breakup is coming with that team. But again, with that being said, the Heat went into Detroit against a team that had lost 14 straight, and they didn't handle that very well. I did say on pregame that I thought this matchup may be better for them because with the Pistons, you kind of, with all that athleticism and everything, those young legs, you really didn't know where it was going to come from. This was a little bit more conventional, okay? You kind of know what Sabonis likes to do, what Turner likes to do, what LeVert likes to do, what Brogdon. You've seen Brogdon over and over tonight. The other thing I want to point out, though, is I spent some time watching the Heat bench because a couple of things stick out to me. number one is how much talent is over there. I mean, you have Bam sitting with Jimmy, sitting with PJ Tucker with those ridiculous shorts. I'm sorry, Alana. I can't.
He was moving very well.
I can't go with the fruit stripe shorts, but you know, with Morris, there's a lot of talent and Oladipo. But the other part of it that kind of jumps out to you is that all of these guys were engaged in it, particularly Vic. And I think that really struck me because it speaks to the Indiana situation versus the Miami situation. Because we remember in the playoffs 2 years ago that Vic did not seem very engaged with his own teammates, even when he was playing in that series. And he has seemed very engaged with this team. And I will say this much more than he was last year, too. And that may come from the fact that he feels like he's going to contribute soon. Whereas last year, he knew that his quad was kind of hanging by a thread. That jumps out to me a little bit tonight, because again, you see what these young guys are doing. And we've talked about the importance of like them stepping up in this situation and what it's going to mean when the veterans are back and they can trust these guys. Max Strus is now averaging 11 and a half points a game this season, or over 11 points a game this season, on 42% 3-point shooting. Suddenly, that's a player that you can trust. Gabe Vincent has come up big in a lot of these situations. And then we're even starting to see it from some of the guys that we don't trust as much. You know, KZ had some okay minutes tonight, but Omer had
he was 7 of 9. He finished 7 of 9, Ethan, for 16 points.
Yep.
Plus exactly. 21.
Yeah. And Omer had those minutes too. And you mentioned this too on the pregame, Greg. Omer doesn't seem to have one like really refined skill at this point, but the one thing is the ball does find him. I was just, yeah. When you mentioned that on pregame, it's just like every loose ball tends to head in his direction. He's just like, he's frenetic. I think maybe that's it. I think they will calm that down over time, but for right now it's worked out. All right. We're going to look forward. We're going to project forward a little bit, but big performance from the Heat tonight. They blow out the Pacers. Hero looked really good, but there's a couple other things I want to get to before we do. I want to tell you about another sponsor of the 5 Reasons Sports Network. He's a sponsor of the pregame show. He's our friend, Mark Brown. You can find him at markbrownpa.com. That's markbrownpa.com. He is the attorney that you want to go to if you're dealing with any kind of probate issues. You got to get your real estate, your title done. He did a great job for me on that with a couple of different things that I needed. And also for your estate plan. He's totally on top of that. He's got a great office staff there based right there in North Lauderdale, just north of Cypress Creek, off of Andrews. So reach out to Mark Brown. It's markbrownpa.com. The phone number is 954-566-5678. Again, that's 954-566-5678. Again, it's markbrownpa.com. Have him design an estate plan for you today. I know you think you may not be old enough for that. You need it. If you got a family, you definitely need it. All right, let's go back to Brady and to Greg on this stuff. Greg, you keep sort of intimating this thing about Hero as a starter. Can you get into that a little bit? We're going to touch on this more in another episode.
Yeah, no, I just feel like the more that I sit with this team, I'm torn because there's a part of me that says all of this basketball and the way that it's being played and all the rotations are going to get thrown out the window when all the guys are back. Because to your point, all that talent on the bench, maybe Duncan will be the glue that starting lineup needs to function. And so then this point goes away. But the overarching theme of where I'm going is that I think Tyler Hero is ready to take the next step. And I think that there is significance to him being vocal about it, not in a negative way at all, but just in a way where if he keeps playing at this higher level, because other than that little stretch when he came back from whatever illness that was and whatever bumps and bruises he felt, he has been sharp. And if that continues, and maybe it'll be a situation where Spo can have the luxury of flipping that switch in the playoffs, and then that easy transition will go forward. I just don't see any way of avoiding it because of how good Tyler is. I mean, Duncan had a great night tonight, but that hasn't been consistent. To me, it has a lot more to do with how good Tyler Hero looks versus anything else related to Duncan.
I wonder what the conversations are. And this is one of the shames of us not really having home practices to cover and not being able to get into the locker room and not being able to do the sidebars with Eric Spoelstra, which I was able to do for 15 years. I mean, this is just a product of COVID. Everything's different. And so we don't get the kind of information we used to get. But I wonder what kind of conversations have gone on between Eric and Tyler about this, because we do know that Eric had the conversations with Dragic, you know, both when he was going to come off the bench and when he was going to start. He has to have talked to Tyler because Tyler knows he's better than Max as an overall player. He knows he's better than Duncan as I'm talking about an overall offensive player. But both of those guys are starting ahead of him. And the reality is Caleb Martin's starting ahead of him. Others have started ahead of him. But I do think this is something we're gonna talk about more as we go forward. Again, the Heat win 125 to 96. Brady, I'll leave this with you. They're now 32 games into the season. They're 19-13. Considering the schedule, which has softened a little bit, but still a ton of road games, considering all the injuries, I mean, they have 50 games left, right? what is reasonable to project if they can get guys healthy now? I mean, can this team get to 50 wins this year?
I think it's possible. Like, if we're looking at them surviving this stretch, like I said before, if you have a winning little stretch to end December here, which is dwindling down as we speak, but it's getting down to the end here. If they have a winning stretch here and then you survive in January, as we went over last time, we went over that group of games, and a lot of those teams are just big names and those are winnable games as well. And then you get Bam back by February, and then you kind of, you're getting Jimmy back, you know, pretty soon here. And then PJ is a day-to-day guy. Like, you're getting healthy quicker than you think. Victor Oladipo's sneaking up on you. It feels like you're getting close to that. I just feel like we kind of need to look at it like they need to get together as well, because it is a win thing. Like, you want to get home court advantage, but you also want Jimmy to be playing with Kyle, and you want Bam and all these guys to be playing together to get that type of feel offensively. I don't think you're really worried about that, because this is a veteran group that once they get to playoff time, they should be able to gel enough. But it is something that we're still here in December talking about rules, which guys should be starting, which guys should be plugged in here. Could Victor Oladipo, what percent will he be at when he returns? It's so much predictability here that we don't really know. But looking forward, it just feels like this Heat team is in a good spot. I look after that Detroit game when everybody was kind of down. It's like they're one game out of third place and they're without five rotational front court guys. They're without three starters. It's a weird place to be at, but it's a good place if you're Miami, because if that's your issue right now, you don't have many issues right now.
Reach to him, Brady.
Look at that. 49 win pace, by the way, as Greg pointed out, 49 win pace after all of the garbage that they've been through this season. All right. Check out our sponsors, prizepicks.com. Use that code 5, markbrownpa.com. If you need an estate plan, you need your title done. Our friend Eric Rubenstein for all of your personal injury needs. Also, he sponsors the Court Clip on our Instagram channel, so you can make sure it's not really a channel. You know what it is, a page. You can check that out as well. And of course, we always mention our other sponsors, therapistpreferred.com and manscaped.com. Use code 5RSN. Have a good night.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Regional Sports Network.